Hump Day! It is Wednesday, August 5th. A lot to talk about from Tuesday's action, the best starting pitchers from yesterday, MLB debuts. Oh, we're going to get to Todd Frazier and Chris Sale and Salvador Perez and DFS. And Chris Towers and Heath Cummings are in the house.
Hey, woohoo! Okay, so if it's a nerd podcast whenever Chris and Al do it, what is it when Chris and Heath do it?
Well, it's a
cool guy podcast.
Cool guys.
It's a rejects podcast since you guys aren't aren't Scott and Al.
Come on, you jerk!
I'm sorry.
No, he doesn't have a need to be a jerk. He just is a jerk.
Yeah, it's I can't help it.
He wants to be a jerk.
I just can't help it. We got so many emails about Todd Frazier. That doesn't usually happen all in one night, but
they're freaking out.
A number of them. Yeah, and I don't blame people just because of what happened last year. So he's on the worryometer. We got the worryometer today. I'm going to ask you about a few players who I'm wondering if you think they're going to have big finishes to the year. Guys like Jimmy Rollins, who's heating up. Jorge Soler, who isn't. Carlos Carrasco's been great. But first, I'm going to tie this in with today's FanDuel giveaway. I have a quote, and if you can tell me what movie it's from, then you can be one of the people who gets today's FanDuel giveaway. And let me just look up what that is today. We are giving away 5 free entries into our CBS contest. So that's FanDuel.com/CBSPod. 5 entries into the contest. So, all right. The category is pick me up. Should we pick these guys up? And here's the quote. Pick me up. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Who'd pick it up? Look, pick me up. Diabolical, isn't it? End quote. Very random quote. One of my all-time one of my favorite movies, although it's not really that good.
I think it would have helped if you would have done it in the voice.
It's not a voice like that, but the guy goes, "Look, pick me up." Diabolical, isn't it? And the guy who says, "That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. Who'd pick it up?" is Ed Rooney from Jock Peterson from Ferris Bueller's Day Off, if that helps anyone. And try not to look it up. If you truly know the answer, you can get into our FanDuel contest tonight. FanDuel.com/CBSPod. Tweet me at Adam Azer.
I haven't the foggiest.
It's fine. Most people won't. It's very random. But if you
so
do
it's a terrible
know
movie.
It's not a very good movie, but if you saw it when it came out and you kind of like grew up with it, you love it. You know, it's one of those movies.
Okay.
But I wouldn't show it to anyone now for the first time. Anyway, here are some pitchers and a hitter. I'm wondering if we should pick them up. Matt Shoemaker, 66% owned, 10 strikeouts and 6 scoreless innings against Cleveland. Last 3 starts, 19 innings, no earned runs, 10 hits, 6 walks, and 27 strikeouts. No runs, 27 Ks in 19 innings for Shoemaker. Last stat here, 4 home runs in his last 12 starts.
Well, I guess the thing that I would want to look up, as kind of like how we were talking about with Corey Kluber yesterday, is there anything behind him all of a sudden spiking? And his velocity is up a little over his last few starts, but not significantly so. But sure, anybody who gets 27 strikeouts in a 3-start span is worth picking up, yeah.
Absolutely, I'd pick him up.
Who are we dropping for him?
Well, it depends on who's on our team.
Would you rather have Chris Tillman or Matt Shoemaker?
I would rather have Shoemaker.
Shoemaker, okay. Would you drop Aaron Nola for Shoemaker?
I think I would.
Probably.
I don't think Nola has like crazy high upside this season either way.
Would you drop Jake Odorizzi for Shoemaker?
I would.
No. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Would you? Really? Well, you know what? I could justify.
I don't think I would.
The wins could really be a big factor there. But I feel like people are a little down on Odorizzi, and I don't know if they should be. He's got a 286 ERA. You know. All right.
Yeah, so he's been really solid.
Chris says no, keep Odorizzi. Heath says flip him for Shoemaker. Right?
Yeah, right.
In summary. All right, next up. Pick me up. Chris Bassett, 12% owned.
The difference here is Shoemaker 66% owned. So we're saying, I feel like in like thin leagues, you're picking him up, not in not deep leagues, you're picking Shoemaker up. And Bassett at 12% owned, mean, that could just be like the deepest of leagues. So yeah, he's worth a pickup in deeper leagues.
Well, is he worth a pickup in, you know, 12
standard
team
leagues?
Not in like a 12 team mix.
No.
14 team mix?
Sure.
Borderline.
13?
No.
No.
Draw the line. Jimmy Nelson, 74% owned. You might have already missed your chance, but
yeah,
if he's out there, would you pick up Jimmy Nelson?
I feel like Jimmy Nelson should be pretty close to 100% owned because we were high on him beginning of the year. He struggled, and he's been good now for like six or seven starts in a row. There's no reason not to believe it. He's even been good at home. He's not giving up home runs. If he's available, you should get him.
Nelson has a .79 ERA in his last five starts.
Not going to maintain that.
Yeah. You'd rather have Nelson or Shoemaker?
Nelson.
Yeah.
Nelson or Latos?
Nelson.
I think I'd go Latos.
Nelson or Heaney?
Heaney.
Yeah, probably.
Richie Schaefer, Rays first baseman, homered yesterday, went 1-for-4. His first big league hit was a home run. Should we pick him up?
I don't believe so.
AL-only leagues, but I think he's probably more of a platoon guy than anything right now.
Isn't everyone in Tampa?
Yeah.
And one last hint for the pick-me-up quote. It's a light grenade.
It's a what?
A light grenade. Tomorrow, I look forward to talking about this movie and how much I love it. Yesterday, we had two major league debuts. Everybody probably thinks I'm crazy right now. Do you guys think I'm a little crazy?
I have no idea.
I'm just expecting it to be a terrible, awful movie.
I'm going to look up its IMDb rating just out of curiosity. We had Henry Owens, who pitched five innings at the Yankees and gave up three runs on five hits with a walk and five strikeouts, seven swinging strikes on 96 pitches, 59 strikes.
He did a lot better than the Red Sox bullpen did against the Yankees.
He sure did. And I watched... And the other guy is John Gray. We'll get to him. I watched about three innings of Owens, and then I went to dinner, and then I came home and watched the barrage at the end of the game. But he started out with over 30 pitches in the first inning, looked very wild, but they really couldn't hit him. So Chris Young reached on an infield single, then A-Rod walked, then Teixeira hit like a seeing eye single up the middle. And I actually thought it was kind of encouraging. He's 28% owned. Because they weren't really hitting him hard. And then Headley reached on a single. And I didn't see the last two hits he gave up. And then John Gray is 37% owned. And he just didn't have a good start. And I wasn't even thinking about picking up John Gray just for the simple reason he's in Colorado.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. With John Gray, I don't think you can really... Maybe in DFS, you can look at him when he's on the road or he has a good matchup. But... He's not a big ground ball pitcher. He's still working on his secondary pitches. He has a huge fastball, but that's about it right now. Owens, the problem with him in the minors was he has a pretty good fastball, a very good changeup, and then he's working on his slider and curveball, and that's why his numbers early in the season were so bad. He had 42 walks in his first 12 starts. And only 14 in his last nine in the minors. But I don't think he's going to be consistent this season, so I'm not rushing out to pick him up.
Wait, was that Owens you were talking about?
Owens, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so 28% owned. Heath, you had any thoughts on Owens or Gray?
I'm not rushing to pick either of them up. I think Chris said at best Gray could possibly be a spot starter on the road. I do wonder, though, I mean, isn't Gray's performance... more impressive than Owens, considering the context?
No.
No.
Four innings?
So one less inning, which probably just happened because, I mean, I didn't see it. It probably happened because he's playing in the National League and they wanted to put a pinch hitter in.
Same amount of walks plus hits in one less inning and one less strikeout, but both were strikeout per inning. I don't think either was very impressive.
But one of them happened in Coors Field.
But yeah, that's true. But I am going to say that just having watched Henry Owens, the five hits, at least three of them were pretty, bad luck. Let's put it that way.
One thing with John Gray, his velocity was very high early on, consistently 95, 96, 97. As the game went on, it started to dip. It was much less consistent, and that's what happened to him a lot in the minors as well. So
needs to work on his stamina?
Just work on his stamina, work on sustaining himself through the game, and work on his secondary pitches. And, you know, you look at it, he had 5 swinging strikes on his slider on 17, which is really impressive, but his changeup is just not there yet. And I think that's a big thing. When you're not a ground ball pitcher, you're pitching at Coors, and you have trouble getting lefties out, I think that's going to be a really bad mixture.
This movie got a 9% on Rotten Tomato.
Woo!
By the critics. 42% audience score, though, which makes sense.
Critics don't know anything.
9%. If you're not a Kevin James or Adam Sandler movie and you get 9%, that's
pretty bad. Or M. Night Shyamalan. He's down in the single digits.
How do you guys feel about Wayward Pines? I liked Wayward Pines.
What is that?
No.
You didn't see it?
Never even heard of it.
Really? It's on Fox. It's an M. Night Shyamalan. I think he produced it. I'm not sure. I don't think
I only watched CBS.
Yeah. Good for you. I like it. I recommend it. I enjoyed it. Matt Dillon stars in it.
That doesn't make me want to watch it anymore.
What, my recommendation or Matt Dillon?
Or Matt Dillon, either one.
The big news from yesterday, David Wright could be back next week, and when he comes back, he'll bat second in what's looking like a pretty good Mets lineup right now. Detroit released Dave Dombrowski from his contract.
That's crazy.
What does this mean?
No, I don't know.
Released from his contract. Asked out?
Well, I mean, I wanted to say that they fired him, but
they fired
him. I don't know that for a fact. Also, I don't know what went on behind the scenes. I mean, maybe it was
here's
more
the
mutual,
deal.
But
they fired him.
Did a good job.
And he still gets paid.
Yeah, I think what it is, it's like they were going to fire him, and rather than fire him, they came to some mutual understanding about his future.
He did a great job.
I feel like this has to almost be a situation where either he or the owner didn't want to sell. You're 3 games out of the wild card. Maybe 4 after last night because they got beat up. But they're 3 or 4 games out of the wild card. Not necessarily they had to buy, and I think selling was probably the right idea.
It was absolutely the right idea.
I don't know how good a job that is, really. I mean, how does that team over the next 4 or 5 years win with a payroll less than $200 million?
Why do you think it's going to be less?
Are they paying $200 million this year?
I don't know, but they obviously have shown a willingness to spend.
Well, yeah, there's a difference, though, between spending $150 million and spending $200 million. That's 33% more.
The problem is that they have a lot of money tied up with Verlander and Cabrera, and I don't know
if Victor Martinez.
I don't know if Cabrera is a problem, but could be. I think the price trade could end up being really good for them if Boyd and Sanchez are reliable rotation pieces.
They could use like 5 reliable rotation pieces.
Yeah. They got some work to do, but they're not completely barren. They were smart to be sellers.
Yeah.
For sure. All right. Next up, Michael Pineda won't be back until September. Brian McCann tweaked his knee, but he stayed in the game. He moved to first base. We'll know more today about McCann's knee. Josh Reddick was out with a back problem. Freddie Freeman, rough year for him. Now he's on the DL with an oblique injury. Between a wrist injury and an oblique injury, those are 2 bad ones. They could linger. Leonis Martin was sent to AAA, guys, and Delino DeShields is only 37% owned.
That should be so much higher. He's doing a lot of different things very well right now.
Yeah, leading off, stolen a base in 2 straight games. So Delino DeShields, 37% owned. Justin Upton sat with a thumb injury, but they're a little optimistic on him. How about Nelson Cruz? He has homered in 5 straight games for the 2nd time this season.
Gonna make it 6 today.
At Colorado.
Against a lefty.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's an autocorrect for you. Mujo Betts, the center fielder for the Boston Red Sox, could be back very soon. Dustin Pedroia, he might be back next week. Still no timetable for Steven Strasburg. He might make another rehab start. Okay, Toronto relief pitcher Aaron Sanchez and manager John Gibbons were suspended 3 games and 1 game respectively for their role in the Royals-Blue Jays fighting.
Don't throw people intentionally. It's pretty simple.
Heath Cummings will be suspended 1 game, and he will appeal. So,
yep.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is fair. So it happens when you throw people intentionally.
Of course you do. Ketel Marte sat yesterday. Austin Jackson was in center field, and Brad Miller stayed at shortstop. So we'll keep an eye on Ketel
Marte.
Actually,
it's not fair.
Let's just move on. Let's not do this.
Preston Tucker left yesterday's game after being hit by a pitch on his arm. Angel Pagan was out with knee issues. And yesterday marked the 22nd anniversary of Robbie Ventura's fight with Nolan Ryan. And I watched the video again. And if you watch it, I don't understand what Robin Ventura was doing. He comes in at Nolan Ryan and he like basically buries his head into Nolan Ryan's chest and allows Ryan to just easily put him in a headlock and start punching the crap out of him.
And thus the long history of Robin Ventura making bad decisions with pitchers began.
Very good.
Thank you.
Very good. All right. FanDuel. So I apologize for yesterday's FanDuel advice. I haven't even looked up where I finished, but it was just an awful day for me. But it started with Chris Sale.
Yeah.
So that's his fault. Get on FanDuel right now and play one-day fantasy baseball. Entry fees start at just $1. FanDuel paying out $2.5 million every day all summer long. That's a lot of money, and you could have a part of it, and it could start at just $1. Enter our podcast tournaments, FanDuel.com/CBSPod. Watch our daily live show, DF Live, at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on CBSSports.com. And go to FanDuel and use our offer code CBSPod. And for every dollar you deposit, FanDuel is going to match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's on your first deposit. If you use that offer code CBSPod, it'll get earned as you play. So we love FanDuel. I'm not mad at FanDuel for taking my money last night.
FanDuel didn't take your money. Someone else that was playing did.
That is very true. Actually, a lot of other people who were playing did. Let's see where I finished. 137th out of 150 and 98th out of 100 in a 50-50 league.
Not great, Bob.
No, not good. The Dodgers and Chris Sale really let me down. Did you guys have better luck?
I won. I'm so kind of irritated about this. I got a little bit scared off by the fact that Liriano and Lester got rained out the night before. So when they announced that they were starting in a rain delay in Washington, I switched off of Scherzer on to Sale.
Yeah.
But the bright side of that was it allowed me to put Chris Young in my lineup.
Oh, yeah.
And as we all know, he scored a lot of points. And so I won cash games with Sale. I won our little show contest. And that was about it.
At what point do we have to stop playing left-handed pitchers against the Rays? This is the second time in a week that they've dominated.
Yeah, they are good against left-handed pitchers.
An elite left-handed pitcher. They did it to Chris David Price last week, and now they did it to Chris Sale.
You know, I argued on the show for like 15 straight minutes about not playing left-handers against Tampa Bay. And then I just got scared by the weather in Washington.
I don't know, guys. Quintana was fine. It just seems like a hot streak to me for the Rays.
Well, Quintana was fine.
Here's the thing. We view the Rays as a bad hitting team. And I'm not saying you can never start a lefty against the Rays. You just need to recognize that they are not a bad hitting team against left-handed pitchers. They are an above average offensive team.
They're very good. They're sixth in the league in WOBA.
Yeah.
All right, fine. Time for the worryometer. 0 to 10. 0 is no worries at all. 10 is, oh my gosh, drop this guy. Fire him.
Awesome.
Chris Sale.
0.
0.5.
Double 0.
0.5.
Steven Vogt, who in June batted .264 with 2 home runs, and in July batted .163 with 1 home run.
That's not good.
No, he is, he's quite cold. 3 home runs since the beginning of June for Vogt.
I'll go, 4.5.
Yeah, 4. I'm not dropping him yet.
You can't drop Vogt. I mean, I might drop him in like a shallow league for Darnell if he's out there. How about you guys?
Yeah, it would have to be a really good catcher.
Catcher's so weak that you can't drop Vogt, but I don't know. I feel like he's a very difficult player to evaluate because there's not a lot to look at.
Right.
And I think injuries might be playing a toll, by taking a toll.
Yeah.
I was hoping that the A's would bat Vogt or play Vogt at first base, maybe DH him. Lately, they really haven't been doing that. So, yeah, I mean, I guess to sum it up, what are you expecting from Vogt rest of season?
I think he's going to be a top 10 catcher, but maybe not a top 5 catcher.
I think closer to 10 than 5 for sure.
Let's just say 7 or 8.
Well, that's pretty much where he is now.
Okay.
Mike Moustakas.
10.
Yeah.
Overowned, huh? 89%?
Yeah, I think at this point.
I'm done.
Third base is such a deep position, I think you can...
Cut bait.
You can go ahead and cut him.
Yeah, he's been... Basically, over the last month, he's batting under 200, well under 200.
Down to 6th in the order now.
Yeah.
It's really not even like... He has a 700 OPS since May 1st.
Wow. All right, Moustakas, you can cut him. 89% owned. Todd Frazier. Here we go. Post-All-Star break. 169 with 2 home runs, 10 RBI, 6 walks, and 15 strikeouts in 17 games. What did he do after the All-Star break in 2014? Frazier hit 247 with 10 homers and 6 steals, a 708 OPS in the second half. Not very good. I didn't expect this. I thought this was a new Todd Frazier. What's going on here? Worryometer on Frazier, 0 to 10.
Well, I mean, you can't drop him.
Okay, let's recalibrate for Frazier, since never dropping him. 0 is not worried at all. 10 is I'm sitting him.
I'm not sitting him either.
5.
All right, what do you think Frazier's going to be rest of season at third base?
I kind of feel, I mean, I'm not sure he's going to be great, but I feel like he's going to be startable, so I'll say maybe the 7th best third baseman the rest of the way, 6th or 7th?
Well, let's get some context.
Okay.
Do you think he'll be better than Matt Carpenter?
No.
Yes.
Do you think he'll be better than... Yeah, I think he will
okay.
be. Do you think he'll be better than Kyle Seager?
Yes.
He'll definitely be better than Carpenter and Rodo.
Okay, you think he'll be the 8th best third baseman in head-to-head? Because Seager's 9th. Carpenter's 8th in at least one of their rankings. I just pulled him up.
Okay.
Look, let's really explore this here. This is a guy who is a streaky player. Like, we're talking about he can go an entire season bad and then an entire season good, or last year it was half great, half bad. It's a small sample of post All-Star games, only 17.
It's the home run derby curse, Adam.
Now, like I said on a previous podcast, Frazier, look, the All-Star game was in Cincinnati. He had the home run derby. He played in the game. He was a local legend, and he even said it was a tiring week for him. And I could see that. So he blamed a little bit on fatigue. We're far enough out where it's probably not an excuse anymore. Is this just a cold stretch, or is this the start of another bad second half for Todd Frazier?
I think it's just a cold stretch that could last through most of the second half.
I think it's probably that he's not quite as good as he was in the first half.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's a mixture of a cold stretch and then natural regression. But, you know, you're still taking Donaldson, Arenado, Machado over him for sure. After that, the kind of names you're looking at in the rankings are Chris Bryant, Anthony Rendon, Alex Rodriguez, Matt Carpenter, Carlos Santana, Kyle Seager. I think he's right there with all those guys.
I know that I would trade Frazier for any of those first three guys, right?
Yes.
Like, I'd easily give them up for Donaldson, Arenado, and Machado.
Yeah.
After that, if I had Frazier and I got offered any of those other guys, I would probably stand pat, right?
Yeah.
How about you, Heath?
I think so. I don't know that. I mean, I think, like I said, we just decided that I think he's going to finish 8th, but I'm not sure. I think it's well within the realm of possibility he finishes anywhere from 5th to 9th, so I probably wouldn't trade straight up because I don't really see the benefit.
You say 5th.
Because if he gets a hot streak, he's better than all those guys.
Right, exactly. You say 5th. Who's the 4th guy that you think is better than him after Donaldson, Machado, Arenado?
Well, I just said 5th because that's... Read him off to me, I'll tell you.
Well, are you talking Chris Bryant, Alex Rodriguez, Anthony Rendon?
I'm not so sure that I think that Frazier's going to be better than A-Rod the rest of the way.
I'm with you, but I'd rather have Frazier.
I think I'd rather have A-Rod.
Yeah.
I'd rather have Frazier for sure. If somebody offered me Todd Frazier for my Alex Rodriguez, I think I'd take Frazier. Alex Rodriguez is 40.
That's true.
He's had huge injury concerns. He's still an injury risk. I don't care how long he makes it through this season healthy. I think you still have to consider him an injury risk.
He's taking care of his body, Chris.
I'm sure he
is. He's using all the resources available to him to make sure that he doesn't get hurt.
I'm sure he is.
Stat of the day. We can move on from Todd Frazier. Stat of the day number 1. Carlos Carrasco, he walked Mike Trout with 2 outs in the 4th inning. That ended a streak of 27 consecutive batters retired by Carlos Carrasco, dating back to his last start. That is a perfect game within 2 starts. Doesn't count. But the bottom line is, this guy is pitching out of his mind in 6 of his last 8 starts. The other 2 were stinkers. But how can you not be encouraged by Carrasco right now? What are you thinking about him?
Oh, I'm think he's pitching more like what we expected, with these spectacular starts with maybe a random not-so-great start mixed in. The problem earlier in the year, I guess, is there wasn't enough spectacular to wash off the bad starts. So this, I don't know that this is completely surprising to me. I think we all thought that he had this type of potential, and with that rotation, anything could happen.
Stat of the day number two, and he's a top 20 guy, by the way, for Scott now. Stat of the day number two, Matt Carpenter batting leadoff. He's batting .361 with 8 homers, 20 RBI, and an OPS over 1,100 in 26 games. He has kept it going since they moved him to leadoff. What do you think?
He's had kind of a tale of three seasons, hasn't he? Like, yes. He was arguably wasn't he the best fantasy third baseman for like the first month and a half of the season? And then he was so awful that you didn't really even want to play him for a month and a half, and yep. Now he's great again.
Yeah, but this hot streak has kind of coincided with the move to back to leadoff.
Now, yeah, and I don't think that should matter, but oddly enough, it does seem like to some people it does matter.
It didn't matter last year.
Why be hitting for more power?
Well, I wonder if it's like a tail wagging the dog kind of situation where they move him to leadoff because he's hitting better rather than he's hitting better because they moved him to leadoff.
He said, "I feel more comfortable there," or "I feel comfortable there," something like that. But as I pointed out when we talked about this the first time we talked about it, Carpenter batted leadoff for much of last season, and he didn't hit very well at all. He might have had like a .350 slugging percentage. Obviously, he hit for very little power.
Yeah.
And, you know, it seems like a little fluky.
And I guess...
But he's not as bad as he was in that...
No, he's not as good as he was. He's not as bad as he was. No one ever is.
Yeah, I think he's good. And playing in the leadoff spot routinely definitely boosts his value.
Time for our autocorrect of the day. Salad or Perez?
Salad.
The catcher for the Kansas City Royals. Salad or Perez? Well, how about BVP All-Star Salad or Perez? 18 for 38 now against Justin Verlander after going 3-for-4 yesterday with a home run, and he had 3 RBI. So Perez is one away from last year's home run total, which was a career high. He's got 16 on the year. Last year he had 17. But he's really not having that good of a year. Heath, I'll let you talk about him. Perez is the number 8 catcher in points, number 9 in Roto.
And well, I think,
let me just hold on one second. I just want to sum up catcher really quickly here. You've got like 7 really good ones, and then everyone else has been either hurt or garbage. Or no, not hurt or garbage. Hurt or just
7 really good ones.
Is that okay? So let me just think here. It's Perez. So this is so far in the rankings. Not Perez. You've got Posey. Grandal.
A chasm.
Yeah. Posey, Grandal. Hold on. I'm just pulling up the rankings so I don't miss anyone here. How are you guys today? Feeling good?
I'm good. I'm good. While we're waiting, since this is the only time I'm on the podcast this week, I get to ask my weekly question. Chris, have you given up on the Indians yet?
No.
No.
Never.
Never. Okay.
Posey.
I'm still watching True Detective. If I haven't given up on that, I'm not going to give up on the Indians.
I stumble. I'm an episode behind. Grandal, Gattis, McCann, Russell Martin, and then you've got, that's 5. Steven Vogt is in there. Yeah. Who am I forgetting? And then Perez, Derek Norris.
I feel like there's 5 good ones.
I mean, thing with Salvador Perez, he's the Hunter Pence of the catcher position, right?
Well, he used to be a 300 hitter.
Yeah, we're talking 3 years ago now.
Right. I think I said at the beginning of the year in our preseason podcasts several times that Salvador Perez is a guy that I think you could draft. He might be a top 5 catcher for the first 2 or 3 months of the season, but you better sell high because he's going to be awful in the second half because Ned Yost overuses him. They've tried to rest him a little bit more this year, but still we saw this turn right around the start of July. He just went to garbage. He's going to have some good games, but I don't think that he's not going to be as good in the second half as he was in the first half.
He hasn't even been that good, though. It's kind of the point I was making, despite the 16 home runs.
Well, I think the first 2 months of the season, he was a top 5 catcher.
That's possible.
I'm relatively certain.
All right, so here's your rankings. Posey, Martin, Vogt. These are standings, not rankings. Posey, Martin, Vogt, McCann, Gattis, Norris, Grandal, Perez. is probably Posey, Martin, McCann, Gattis, Grandal, right? Like, really trust those guys.
Yeah.
And then after that, you got guys like Norris, Perez, the injured guys like Darnot, Wieters. Lucroy, obviously, is a total must start, must trust. He's been great over the last month or so, at least at the catcher position. But yeah, I mean, Perez, I think, has been a disappointment.
Well, I guess it depends on what you expected. If you expected a first half of a top five catcher and a second half of a disaster, then he's been about what we expected.
All right, fine. Who's going to have a big finish? I got some names for you. You tell me how you feel. Jimmy Rollins, last eight games, 341, three homers, four RBI, seven runs, three doubles, mm-hmm. a triple. Jimmy Rollins.
I don't know about a big finish.
Yeah, he's fine if you have him, but I wouldn't go running out to figure out a way to get him on my lineup.
Jorge Soler, since coming off the DL, he has one home run and five doubles in about a month of action.
He's such a weird player because we saw him, the guy that we saw last season, and it was only 24 games, and I think that's the problem, is that it was only 24 games, and we probably maybe got tricked by that because the guy he's been this season is just a completely different hitter. You know, he doesn't hit as many fly balls, and that's the biggest problem with his power right now.
Well, he had five home runs last year, Soler, in 24 games. He has five in 74 games this year. Well, what do
yeah,
you think?
Yeah, and he had, 20 home runs between four different levels last season. So he was just a much better power hitter this last season. Right now, you know, his fly ball rate is only 27.9%. He's not a fly ball hitter right now. And I think that's the issue. He's going to sustain, with his current batted ball profile, he's going to sustain a very high BABIP and be useful for batting average as a result, but he's also striking out a ton, so it's kind of screwing him over there, too.
Yeah, I'm not excited about Jorge Soler down the stretch.
Yeah.
Would you rather have Jorge Soler or Preston Tucker?
Preston Tucker.
I'd rather have Soler.
Soler or Cole Calhoun?
I'd rather have Cole Calhoun.
Yeah, I think I'd rather have Calhoun.
How about Alex Wood? Could he have a big finish? You look at yesterday's line. Actually, one thing I kind of got right in FanDuel yesterday is Wood, bad year against the Phillies. This is four starts now. And just
okay, let's be clear. He was not really bad against the Phillies last night.
Right, I was going to say. It ended up being a bad line, but he only gave up one run through six and then ended up giving up four earned runs, some inherited from a reliever. Like
right.
A reliever gave up his runs.
Gave up a grand slam
to Michael Franco. And so ended up being four runs on eight hits in six and a third. But I don't know. I went back and looked at the game logs. In my mind, I thought he had been better lately, but he's been very inconsistent, Alex Wood. You think he'll have a big finish?
I think he has a chance to have a big finish because he's pitching for the Dodgers and have a chance to pick up a lot of wins. And he does have an upside, unlike most pitchers, in the range of where he's at right now. So, yes, I believe he has a chance for a big finish.
Yeah.
How about Michael Franco, who hit that grand slam coming off of July, where Franco batted just .253 with a home run and eight doubles?
Sorry. Franco, did that come out? I'm trying to regulate the microphone.
Not only did it come out, it actually startled me a little bit.
Okay.
Not gonna lie. I was kind of
I wasn't trying to say anything.
That's okay. Well, you're a big Michael Franco supporter. Do you think he'll have a big finish?
I'm on the Michael Franco train.
I feel bad for Michael Franco because I feel like he's been overlooked because there's been so many good rookies that have come out.
Yeah.
He's a stud.
He's really good.
So, big finish.
Big finish.
I think he could because he's still, what I love about him, even in that bad month of July, the power wasn't there, the BABIP wasn't there, but he walked a ton, and he didn't strike out much. 16 strikeouts in a month is really good.
Yep. Should we do, Adam, would you like to attempt to answer a National League trivia question that has to do with rookies?
Yeah, sure.
That Alan Scott and neither one could answer?
Yeah, sure.
What National League rookie leads all National League rookies in war?
Michael Franco.
That is incorrect.
Dang. National League rookie.
Who leads National League rookies in war?
Matt Duffy.
That was an excellent guess, though.
It wasn't yesterday. So if he did something last night, and we're using B-War, not F-War.
That's B-War. It's a completely different thing. It's probably Matt Duffy or Michael Franco in the other one.
I have. I really.
He also led the National League in WAR in July.
I don't know. I'm lost.
Jung Ho Kang.
Ah, interesting.
Chris is not impressed. It's very, very.
I still think it's Matt Duff.
Carlos Gomez, big finish.
I'm still worried about the health.
Yes, I'm going big finish. I believe in him, and I don't believe in the Mets doctors, and so I don't think there's really anything wrong with him.
Five games with
the
Houston.
Fact that he has just two stolen bases since he came back from his hip injury. That's my biggest thing.
I like him batting second in that order.
Gomez. Oh, it's a great batting order.
Yeah.
I love that park. The trade, I mean, okay, when we found out about the knee injury, or supposed knee injury for Gomez, it definitely concerned me. I'm with you on that, Chris. But going to Houston instead of Citi Field, well, even if Al's going to make the case that Citi Field is not as much of a pitcher's park as everybody thinks,
well,
still a huge, huge
But it's difference. It's not Citi Field. It's going from Miller Park, which is very good.
I know, but what I'm saying
is park, and it's a park where he's had massive amounts of success in his career compared to his career numbers.
I know, but what I was saying was the feeling I had as a Gomez owner of, oh gosh, he just got traded to Citi Field. I don't like that so much.
Yeah.
And the Mets lineup
before they had Cespedes. Two, he just got traded to Houston, to Minute Maid Park with that lineup. It's much, much better.
Yes.
Okay, next category. What do you think of these pitchers?
That is such a great category name. How do you come up with these?
It's not easy. Yeah, I didn't really have enough pitchers to put them in the typical category, so I'm going to go down the list here. And we're going to do a bit of a shorter show today, so we won't spend too much time on it. But what do you think of these pitchers? Masahiro Tanaka.
I think he's fine. I don't think he's an ace.
He's a good roller coaster.
Okay. Well, is he a must start, Tanaka?
Yes.
Is he? So you start him if his only start is at Toronto?
No.
Okay.
That might be the only thing, though, right?
Or at Coors.
Yeah, but other than that,
that's not happening.
He's probably, we got a week coming up down the stretch where his only starts at Toronto. Being in that division.
Then I'll bench him one in the last eight weeks. I think that's okay. I think that's pretty close to a must start.
Justin Verlander, 90% owned.
That's not a must start.
Too highly owned, I think.
Yes.
Would you rather have Shoemaker or Verlander?
Shoemaker.
Yeah.
It's not even close for me.
Yeah.
This wasn't that bad of a start for Verlander. No walks, which is good, but I still just don't trust him.
Yeah.
Phil Hughes is one of the most overowned players in fantasy, 85% owned. Agree or disagree?
That was a pretty good outing yesterday.
I guess.
I'm serious. You go up against that lineup and you give up three runs
in five and two thirds.
That's a good outing.
It's amazing. For all the home runs he has given up, he's not giving up that many runs, which just seems so fluky to me, Hughes. Like too many solo homers in there, I guess.
So if you need a whip specialist, I guess Phil Hughes has value.
To have allowed 27 home runs and have only a 4.14 ERA.
Cause he doesn't put guys on base, ever.
I guess.
That's the one thing he does well.
Yeah, you're right. He does limit the walks. 14 in, 141 and a third. I have no interest in Phil Hughes. Like, I would never feel good starting him.
Yeah.
Andrew Kashner, 78% owned. How do you feel about him?
Remember that, I think it happened on the same day or maybe within 2 days of each other. He had that crazy start where he gave up 5 runs in less than 5 innings with 12 strikeouts, and Noah Syndergaard did the same thing. I looked at it, and historically, that was a pretty good sign. That was actually like, if you had a start like that where you struck that many guys out and still gave up a lot of runs, it was actually a really good sign. It was guys like Nolan Ryan and Tom Seaver had starts like that, and Randy Johnson. So I said, you know, you have to be pretty confident in these guys just because the ability to strike out that many batters is usually a good sign.
Well, you're batting 500, Chris.
Yeah. He has a 4.77 ERA because Noah Syndergaard's been amazing since that start. He's been one of the best pitchers in baseball. But Kashner has a 4.77 ERA and he's not striking guys out anymore. He has 38 strikeouts in 60 and a third innings. He started out the season striking guys out, and this has always been the thing with Andrew Kashner. And I know we wanted to go quick, so I'll wrap it up.
Okay.
But he's always thrown so hard and never really racked up big strikeout numbers. Started out the season doing that, and now he's back to his middling strikeout numbers, and I'm not really that interested in him anymore.
How about this statement? I'm not sure I believe it, but I'm going to say it anyway. I would rather have Noah Syndergaard than Matt Harvey this year.
I tweeted out like 10 days ago, what are the chances that Matt Harvey's the third best pitcher on the Mets next season? And I think they're decent.
I think that he will remind everyone how amazing he is in his full year back from post Tommy John. I think that he's shaken off the rust a little bit. His schedule's been interrupted and he hasn't liked that.
I just think it's less about him and more about the fact that they have some really amazing pitchers.
I agree, but I think he's going to have a huge year next year. And
he's going to have a huge night tonight.
Who they got?
At Miami.
Oh, yeah.
The Miami Marlins are a bad baseball club.
All right. Next up, Patrick Corbin, 73% owned. He only went an inning and a third, gave up six hits and three runs. The reason they took him out was not because he was pitching so bad, not he was doing very well, but it was just because they're trying to be cautious, and he had a long first inning. They almost didn't even let him come out for the second.
I think more teams should be worried about that. I am much more concerned over a pitcher throwing 35 or 40 pitches in an inning than I am 120 in a game.
Well, it is an indication that they're going to handle Corbin with kid's gloves, I think.
Yeah.
So 73% own. I still like him. I'm not dropping him after this start. I own him in a few leagues. How about you?
Yeah. I think if you had him, you were playing in a deep enough league where it's worth hanging on to him.
Okay.
Marco Estrada, 62% owned.
I think he's underowned.
All right.
Yeah.
And especially in leagues where you can use a SPARP.
Yeah, but he's been so pedestrian outside of the two really good starts.
Would you rather have Corbin or Estrada?
Well, Corbin's got much more upside, but if I can use Estrada as a SPARP, I'd rather have Estrada.
These next four guys, who's your favorite? Who are your two favorites? John Neese, who has had 10 quality starts in his last 11, and the only bad one in that 11-start stretch was when his wife was giving birth and might have been a little distracted. Anthony DeSclafani, Jake Peavy, who is 2-2 with a 2.84 ERA since coming off the DL. Actually, that was before last night's start, so it's even lower. And Danny Duffy. Neese, DeSclafani, Peavy, and Duffy.
DeSclafani is probably number one, and then Peavy.
I think I would go Neese and DeSclafani. I hate what the Royals have done to Danny Duffy. They're trying to turn him into a left-handed Chris Young.
I think Neese, you might want to avoid him in Roto. He is a typically high whip guy. In fact, he's a 133 whip, and he doesn't strike anyone out. Well, he doesn't strike a lot of people out. So he is like a points league or quality starts league specialist, Neese. But pitching well. And in my notes, I wrote that he had 16 strikeouts yesterday instead of one walk and six strikeouts. So that would have been better. John Lester's going to start Friday. Some news and notes for you. He had a rain-shortened start on Monday. He'll start Friday. How about K-Rod? Francisco Rodriguez, 24 saves in 24 chances this year.
100%. That's an A++.
Chase Utley's on a rehab assignment. Andrelton Simmons hopes to be back by the end of the week. Baltimore sent Tyler Wilson to AAA, and Brett Gardner sat yesterday with a lefty on the mound. I don't expect that to continue. Chris Young and Carlos Beltran were in the lineup. But he might sit a little bit more, Gardner, now that Young and Beltran are both healthy and playing and Gardner slumping. I don't know. I don't think it's a huge deal. Some emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. This is from Brad in South Carolina. Good morning, Jacob, Matt, and Noah.
Aw.
I thought
these are biblical.
That's what I was going to say. I was like, these are biblical, and then I just realized they're the Mets pitchers.
It could be both.
Is Steven Matz worth stashing on my DL?
Do you need the DL spot for someone else?
Yeah, very good. Very good qualifier.
Well, an update on him. They're talking about getting him back for the last month of the season. So September is when you're looking at Matz, it looks like.
I think he's going to be a really, really good pitcher. So if you don't need the DL spot for something, yeah, you should absolutely hang on to him.
Yeah. Justin from Michigan. Hey, guys, and Adam. Here's a keeper question. I need to keep two. So Trout is going to be one. Who else? Categories League. Donaldson, Rizzo, or Stanton?
I'm guessing this guy's doing pretty well.
Jeez.
Or it's a 14 league.
It's
12 teams.
Stanton or Donaldson? Stanton.
Right? I think I'm going to go with Donaldson.
That's a tough one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's not. Wow. I don't think there's a wrong answer there.
I think I'd go Stanton.
Yeah, Trout and Stanton's an awfully good outfield to start out with.
It is.
I already have one outfielder. If it's three outfielders, I'll go Donaldson. If it's one, if it's three, I'll go Stanton.
If it's one, you should definitely go Donaldson.
Wait. If it's three outfielders, I'll go Donaldson. If it's five outfielders, I'll go Stanton. That's my two cents.
I think that's fair.
We've got David from New York City. Dear Michael, Sonny, and Fredo, is Yasiel...
Right?
Yes, I do.
He says he listens almost every day on the way home from work. Dave, why aren't you listening every day?
Yeah, what's up with that, Dave?
Come on.
So he wants to know if Yasiel Puig is droppable for Yasmani Grandal.
No.
Okay, from Mikey, grade the trade. 12-team head-to-head categories. He's in second place. Give up Andrew McCutchen and Todd Frazier. Get Dallas Keuchel and Josh Donaldson.
Oof.
Give up McCutchen and Frazier for Keuchel and Donaldson.
I would really like to know who the other outfielder is that's replacing McCutchen, but I'm tempted to give this one a B-.
I think it's a C. I think it's fair. I don't think either team's winning.
I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt that he has a good fourth outfielder. So,
okay. And last one is from Mike V. He's in a deep 16-team keeper league. I have a question about young pitchers. Young studs, Eduardo Rodriguez, McCullers, and Taijuan Walker have been big contributors for me, but they're all on some sort of innings limit. So what do you do in this situation if you have multiple young starting pitchers on your team? Should you target starting pitchers who are currently in the minors who are expected to be called up, like an Aaron Blair? Could you trade for veterans? What do you do if you are relying on pitchers basically who are up against the potential innings limit?
The guys that are coming up in the minors probably have similar situations as the Eduardo Rodriguez and Lance McCullers of the world. So I'm not sure that's the way to go, especially because the guys that are left aren't exactly the highest upside players. I would try to trade somebody. And at this point, your best bet is probably Taijuan Walker, even though the problem with that is I think he's one of the three that might not have an innings limit. You know, I think he's deeper into his career than those guys. He's seen the majors before. And I think he has more upside than any of the other two.
Heath.
Yes.
Let's talk DFS.
Yes.
What do you got for tonight?
Well, the big debate, I think, in cash games for me comes down to Harvey versus Bumgarner. I've been poring over my spreadsheet. They both have outstanding matchups. I'm leaning Harvey against the Marlins over Bumgarner against Atlanta. I think you can play Carmart in tournaments. I think you can play Johnny Cueto in tournaments. I think you can play Brett Anderson in tournaments. In cash games, I'm either going to go Harvey or Bumgarner. And it may be one of those days, which Scott does this a lot. I do it occasionally, where you split your 50-50s, and half of them you play Bumgarner, and half of them you play Harvey.
I don't really see a downside to Harvey. Are the prices similar?
Harvey's $500 less than Bumgarner.
Yeah,
that's God, those are both amazing matchups, especially with Freeman not playing. But Bumgarner is not having a great season.
But he's having a better season than Harvey.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
That's the thing.
You're right. Is he having a better season than Harvey overall? I guess he is.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. He's striking out more batters than Harvey is. I guess they both have a pretty high win potential tonight. Vegas basically has them both as big favorites. Has them both giving up exactly 3 runs. I mean, it's really close.
How about Luis Severino?
Yeah, he's not really on my radar.
Yeah.
As somebody I'm going to start.
A lot of games tonight, so you can find cheap hitters, right?
Right.
I apologize for what I said about Preston Tucker. I thought he was at home yesterday, which is why I was more excited about starting him against the bad righty. It doesn't really. I mean, he was in Texas, so he should have carried over.
Oh, I started him. He was a good play.
Okay, but it's against righties and at home. He's like Babe Ruth. Preston Tucker.
I'm not. You apologized earlier about going with the Dodgers against. And we had this debate on the show yesterday. Is the worst pitcher on the worst team in baseball the worst pitcher in baseball?
not when they're the hottest team in baseball, I guess.
But I'm not apologizing for going with the Dodgers against Jerome Williams, and I will be going with the Dodgers against Aaron Hwang.
So, Jesus Montero, do they have a day game or a night game?
They have a day game.
So the Rockies are out of it, and I apologize. I haven't really looked at the slate much. Can't use the Rockies.
Probably also be heavily invested, and this guy has been my foil. But I will be heavily invested in the Astros against Nick Martinez.
Yeah, Drew Hutchison on the road. You want right-handed twins in there. So Hutchison has been terrible on the road. He's been terrible against righties.
Are the Blue Jays on the road?
No, God, what's wrong with me? I'm looking at it right now.
Hey, Chris, you want to talk about DFS?
It's Minnesota at Toronto. So yeah. Hutchison hasn't been terrible on, at home. But who is pitching for Minnesota? Duffy?
For Minnesota today.
Got a major league debut here? Tyler Duffy?
Tyler Duffy.
All right. So the problem is it's hard to stack Blue Jays. They're all so expensive.
Right. I'll probably be playing some left-handed Yankees as well against Steven Wright.
Ben Revere is 2,600. I know ninth, but
if they put him first, if they hit him leadoff occasionally. If they do that, then
that's only going to happen, I think, if Tulo's out. Yeah. Matt Boyd is going up against the Royals. Any Royals you like? Boyd is a lefty.
Not particularly. I mean, you can always, if you get into a situation where you have to go cheap at catcher, you can always play Salvador for 2,200. Or if you want to go cheap at shortstop, you can play Escobar for 2,200.
Here's a guy I like, Nori Aoki.
Yeah.
2,600. Should be leading off since Pagan's been banged up. And he's facing Williams Perez, who was terrible last time out.
And if you can't quite afford him, then go with Gregor Blanco for $200 less.
Okay.
Who's actually been better against righties than Nori has.
Taylor Youngman, Ian Kennedy, those are both like decent Youngman. Plays, right? But like it just Youngman doesn't make sense. I like Youngman too. It just doesn't make sense with Harvey and Bumgarner available. And it's not like Harvey is Kershaw pricing. You know, 10,900.
No. Well, he's not Kershaw. Let's not confuse the two.
You can could still, be Kershaw against the Marlins.
You could still spend...
That's one thing that is definitely worth considering.
You could still spend $3,000 a player on if you have Harvey. So that's probably who I would go with. And all right, guys, thank you very much. More info for you on DF Live. I wanted to read the winning. I keep saying I'm going to read the winner of the CBS Pod
you
contest.
Never do it.
I never do. So let's do it. All right, the winner was with a score of, as you can tell, I'm looking things up. With a score of...
By the way, if you're playing the early slate, Rachie Schaefer, probably a very good play against another lefty for the White Sox.
While we wait for Adam to look this up.
He's got it.
Go ahead.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Heath, go.
Matt Harvey has less than 5 strikeouts in 4 of his last 6 starts.
Have noticed that.
But how many of them have been against the Marlins?
None of those have been against the Marlins. He had 11 in his last start against the Marlins. He had 7 in the start before that.
Yeah.
All right, Bambino 900. Chris Archer, Stephen Vogt, Prince Fielder, Wilmer Flores, Miguel Sano, Brad Miller, Chris Young, Preston Tucker, and Carlos Gomez.
That's a good team.
We'll say Matt Harvey only has a 4.14 career ERA against the Marlins.
He's given up 8 runs in 14 innings against him this year.
That's ridiculous.
That's not good.
44 strikeouts in 37 innings has to be the more relevant number, I think.
Giancarlo Stanton was playing in both those games.
He's pretty good.
I have one bit of bad news for you as we end the show.
Bad news for Heath.
I'm pulling away in the Roto Real Draft League. And
well, that's weird, because when I looked yesterday, you were up by 1.5 points.
Oh, really?
So I guess you had a good night.
I don't know. This is based on a few days ago. I thought I was pulling away. But I
I'm gonna look it up right now.
Oh, dude, I'm up 9.5 points.
Whoa.
Okay, well, it was 1.5 points yesterday.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
No way.
Yeah.
There's some bunching going
on.
There's a lot of bunching
going
on.
You went down 6 points yesterday. Anyway, I have Harvey and Bumgarner on my team, so tonight's going to be a good night. I got a feeling that tonight's going... All right, anyway.
Are you going to make the playoffs in the Podcast Listeners League?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm in first place in both of our Roto leagues, so take that. You're only in one of them. I guess I can't talk smack about that. Anyway, thank you for letting me sing Black Eyed Peas. Let me know what movie that quote is from, and have a great day, everybody.